Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Try Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost, built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, incredible load times, and 24/7 WordPress priority support, your sites will be lightning fast with global reach. And with Bluehost Cloud, your sites can handle surges in traffic, no matter how big. Plus, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. Get started now at Bluehost.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Critical Hit, a major spoilers Dungeons & Dragons podcast. We're taking a little break in the action, as we often do, to talk about some of the new changes in the game, some of the exciting things in the game, and again, depending on when you're listening to this podcast, hello future people! Some of this information may be over a month old already. Again, depending on when you're listening.
Right.
Rodrigo, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Just today, and this has been out for a couple of weeks. Hello, future people. just today, I finally got a hold of the Adventurer's Vault 2.
And the Adventurer's Vault handbook or whatever it is.
Adventurer's Vault.
Is that all they call it?
Yep.
Okay. That's just nothing but, like, items.
Yep,
weapons and...
Weapons, vehicles, mounts, but mostly things that your characters can have possession of.
And who uses the Adventurer's Vault mostly? Is that a Dungeon Master that uses it, or is it...
It's primarily a Dungeon Master thing, although, as we've sort of talked about peripherally before, when you start a higher-level campaign, usually the players start out with magic items, so if they have the Adventurer's Vault, they could pick them out of there.
Ah, okay, so as a Dungeon Master... Do you let everybody just have free reign, whatever they want out of there, or
usually,
is it what they can afford? Or?
Well, if the rules are, if you start at a higher level, mm-hmm. you get one item of one level above yours,
okay.
one item of your level, one item of a level below, and then money equal to an item of one level below.
Oh, okay.
So
how many, just out of curiosity, before we get talking about this Adventurer's Vault, out of curiosity... How many people start campaigns where they build characters at, like, level 11 or higher or something like that?
I have no idea.
Do you play games like that where you create stuff that's higher?
I've played games like that before.
And is there an advantage to doing that, or is it just that you get to do more powerful things more often? Is that the appeal, or...
Yeah, it's... your character's a lot more survivable. You have a lot more options
mm-hmm.
in any given fight or mm-hmm. in any given encounter. You know, it's just there's more things that you're... character can do. It also gives a little bit more variety, because if you're playing a lot of one shots, and actually here in the group that I'm in, we play a lot of one shots, you eventually get a little tired of playing first level characters.
Right. But the idea is, if you continue with your characters,
mm-hmm.
even if it's from one shot campaign to another, eventually they're going to build up to...
Well, then they're not one-shot campaigns.
Well, what if they get together, hey, welcome to the tavern, here's all of... Oh, there's our good friend, Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
Rodriguez, how have you been? Oh, Orym, I've been on so many adventures, let me tell you the tales. Well, the town folks say they're having a problem with a golem down the street. Perhaps you'd like to join us. And then go on and you have your one-shot adventure, and you come back to the tavern and disband for... a couple of weeks until... Does that make sense?
Except for the part where you call it a one-shot adventure.
Well, but I mean, you go and we have an adventure together, and then mm-hmm. that means you could take your character and go do other adventures. I mean, yes, it breaks it away from that idea of a one-shot,
mm-hmm.
but it gives you the ability to create modular... to let you carry that character from different games to different games while still building it up maybe separate from having an entire group of the same people every time. Does
mm-hmm.
that make sense?
Sure.
Okay. You've never done anything like that?
No, we usually don't.
Oh, okay. All right. So then you let anybody just go through the book, depending on if they've met those qualifications.
Yeah, if... I haven't looked through this. I don't know if there's some item in here that's broken. They've been pretty good about maintaining power level on the... between even and low scale. There's actually some magic items kicking around where they're actually kind of... below what they probably should be for their level.
Mm-hmm. And that's here in Adventurer's Vault 2, or is that just in
general?
No, that's
largely in the PHB. In the
oh, okay.
In the player's handbook, there's a couple, especially like head slot items or like hand slot items that just give you like a very small bonus to one particular skill.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, a level two or three magic item should probably give you something a little better than that.
Okay. All right. So what's then new and different in the Adventurer's Vault 2?
The Adventurer's Vault 2 introduces tattoos and the tattoo slot.
The tattoo slot. The plane, or would it be the dragon?
The airship.
So I guess tattoo would be like a gnome then.
Probably. Or, you know, just a small just person, Steven. Don't be so offensive. Tattoos work a little different from other magic items. Once you have a tattoo, you can't take it off, unlike, you know, say a pair of bracers or some armor.
Because they haven't invented laser surgery removal.
Oh, no. You can remove it, but that destroys a tattoo. Unlike, say, a magic helmet that you can just take off and nothing happens to it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Because of that, they're maybe a little bit more powerful, and usually they work off of triggered abilities, like spending action points or taking damage in combat.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So you might have, give me an example of a tattoo that somebody might have. And do you have to be, now these are magic items.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to be a magician in the magic class to use these?
You can have a wizard of some sort inscribe a tattoo on you.
Ah, okay.
Well, here's an example. Escape tattoo. Broken chains and skeleton keys are popular images of this tattoo. When a non-minion enemy scores a critical hit against you and deals damage, you can teleport 3 squares as a free action.
Ah, so that's just an automatic.
That's just an automatic thing.
Okay. All right, well, that makes sense, but it has to be a minion, right? So is that like...
It has to be a non-minion.
Oh, okay. So give me an example of a non-minion, maybe in something that we've played recently. The airship where we escaped.
Right, none of those guys were minions.
Okay, all right.
Minions are the guys that die with one hit, like the monkey lizards.
Oh, okay, all right. Okay, all right. So if a non-minion hits you and it scores a critical hit, you automatically get a teleport 3 squares away.
Yep.
Now, does that...
It does not prevent the damage.
Oh, okay. Now, does that also include passing through items, or do you still have to be line of sight when we teleport?
You have to have line of sight to teleport somewhere.
Okay, all right. Cool. And so what are the costs? What are, you know, are they're all obviously triggered by certain items.
Mm-hmm.
What are the costs of these things?
They, I believe, cost exactly the same as any item of their level. They are made so that they will scale in exactly the same way as every other magic item. A rod that is level 4 costs 840 gold, and a tattoo that's level 4 costs 840 gold.
Oh, okay,
price.
So the prices are the same throughout this. Okay, so if someone were going to, and you said you just got this today, I don't know, how long have you had to go through and look at tattoos? Are there some that you really stand out, that you're really excited about maybe incorporating into gameplay?
Well, that one, because we, I mean, even when we make higher level characters, we tend to keep it... in the heroic level.
Right.
Having 1/4 level tattoo is really nice, because a big issue up until now is that there are very, very few level 1 and level 4 magic items.
Okay.
They're just kind of like these dead zones.
Mm-hmm.
So having a level 4 tattoo, you know, I don't have to spend a slot in it. It's pretty nice.
Cool. Let me ask you then, going from a dungeon master's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, you know, throughout the adventures that we've had so far, nearly everyone has gotten some kind of a special item.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Smith, who has the bone dagger, and you've got Torque, who's got the razor armor, and Orym, who has the flaming sword.
Mm-hmm.
What does Randus have?
He has a belt that he's never used, and he just got that essence disruptor thing that he hasn't used yet either.
Right. How do you determine, as a dungeon master, whether people get these tier level or these very powerful items, or they, you know, they seem powerful at least.
Yeah. Well, they are powerful. They're another sort of axis of options that are given to your character.
Right.
You know, in any given encounter, once you've run out of, you know, encounter and daily powers, you mm-hmm. still have one magic item power that you can use.
Right, right. So how do you decide that? And again, let's go back to, again, listeners have become quite accustomed to this over the months that, you know, I come from the world of Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that we have drops, and there's a percentage of drop based on these items so that, you know, I might get some really high-level, cool, rare gear, a helmet or a mm-hmm. sword or something, but that only drops from a boss monster maybe 1 in 10 times.
Sure.
Right? So there's a 10% chance, and I guess if you were a dungeon master, you could roll the dice and figure out if, you know, this, you know, killing this monster revealed, you know, this prize.
And that's actually kind of how it used to be done. Mm-hmm. Up until 3rd edition and 3.5, a dungeon master was supposed to, and no one that I've ever talked to did it like this as far as 3.5. You roll dice to determine a percentage and see what magic items the characters would find. The problem with this was that they would very frequently find magic items that they couldn't use.
Right. But they could sell for...
But they could sell for a large amount of money and mm-hmm. then actually buy the magic items they wanted, which is backwards,
right,
honestly.
Right,
In your normal, friendly tabletop game of Dungeons & Dragons, there isn't really such a thing as an economy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in-game, there is an economy.
Right.
But if I just gave you random drops, it's not like you could do all the same things that you could in World of Warcraft with mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. Give them to a friend or auction them or whatever.
Right.
There's kind of no point in doing that. Mm-hmm. So I go through and I pick out items that I think your characters are going to be able to use.
Mm-hmm. And I guess when you decide to give them out, you give them out at very specific times. And again, me coming from World of Warcraft, again, you do this, everybody in the party would probably get something at the same time instead of, oh, Torque, you've been so good with the, and I forget when, or the... Exilary of Cogs, here's mm-hmm. your razor armor. Or maybe, no, it was Randus with the belt.
Got well, that kind of is what happened. I mean,
Orm didn't get anything
right.
in that encounter. It was much later on that that happened.
Right.
Do you find that when you do that as a dungeon master that you maybe give an advantage to one character and maybe not give an advantage to another character? I mean, I don't remember what Torque's razor armor was as far as what abilities it enhanced him to.
Mm-hmm.
Was it like a +2?
It was armor? A +1 to armor class from the armor that he had already.
Mm-hmm.
And when somebody scores a critical hit on him, he gets to just deal damage to them directly.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, but then that's kind of an advantage for Torque, who's mm-hmm. a tank, and which obviously makes sense. But then it becomes a disadvantage to Orym or Smith or somebody who doesn't have a gift or a special item
mm-hmm.
that was given in that campaign as they go forward and fight additional monsters.
Sure. But, I mean, I've been doing this all game.
Sure,
Oh,
yeah,
after
yeah.
your prelude, Orym started the game with a magic item and actually, I think for a couple of sessions, was the only guy with a magic item.
Right.
I see magic items as something that kind of has to happen. The game assumes that characters are going to get magic items. Players like getting magic items.
Oh, yeah.
So I tend to try to write them into the story. I mm-hmm. don't necessarily go, oh, well, it is now time for magic items. Here's some loose premise as to why you guys are getting magic items.
Right, right, right.
So I don't think it's as important for everybody to get all their magic items at the same time as it is that by the time you hit a particular level, you're supposed to have this much gear.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense from that. So how do you determine? Do you go through the book? I mean, we talked before about how you decide what monsters we're going to combat, and you say mm-hmm. that you are given a certain amount of XP, and you spend that XP on the monsters, and then that's how you build the monster party that's going to attack mm-hmm. the group. Do you do the same thing when you're deciding these items, these gifts, these, I don't know what you would call them besides magic?
Magic items.
Are they all magic?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
They are all magic items.
Okay. All, but not everything in the Adventurer's Vault is magic, though, right?
Everything in the Adventurer's Vault.
Oh, so even
In the first Adventurer's Vault,
mm-hmm.
not everything was magic items.
All right.
There were some new weapons
mm-hmm.
and stuff, but I'm pretty sure that everything in this one is magic.
Okay. Then, so how do you determine? Obviously, level is one of the key indicators.
Yeah. The game sets up, you know, in the Dungeon Master's Guide, it says, here's what you give players at each level. At each level, you give the party basically one level, one magic item that's four levels above them, one mm-hmm. that's three, one that's two, and one that's one, and then a certain amount of money.
Okay, so wait, let's just go over that what you said again. At each level,
mm-hmm.
you give away an item that's four,
plus
three.
Plus four, plus three, plus two, and plus one level okay. from the party.
So that's each member of the party gets each
one of those.
Or you take...
The party okay. gets that many.
Okay, we want to be clear because I don't want somebody listening to go, oh, well, that's pretty cool. So that means on the next level, you know, Smith is going to get a four, three, two, one item. It doesn't work that way. Smith
that's
may
right.
get a four, Torque may get a two, Randus may get a one, and I might get a three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. And then so then what happens next then? You just go through the book and look for those items?
I figure out who I want to have sort of the higher level item that level. I have a spreadsheet set up just to keep track of stuff so I know that I'm not necessarily, you know, consistently handing Torque the magic items that are four levels above him and
right.
consistently handing Smith the magic items that are only one level
right.
above him.
Right.
Because then, you know, he'll have crappier magic items.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to pass them out so that, you know, if somebody got the least magic item the previous level, they might get the biggest magic item the next level and so on.
But you just kind of keep track of that and there's no, like, stepping order. Like, you got a four this time, a three next time, a two after that, and then a one, and then you'll cycle back down to four, or do you just go...
Kind of. I mean, that is... I mean, the Dungeon Master's Guide doesn't tell you to do that, but that's mm-hmm. what I do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I have... I think the up to like level six projected out as
oh,
to
wow.
who's going to
okay.
get what magic items.
Okay, cool. And now there's no way to know from the adventurer's side
mm-hmm.
what we might be getting, right?
That's right. Potentially, you guys could sit there, you know, within a couple levels and figure out my secret arcane formula for handing out magic items. But there's no way for you guys to know what magic items I'm going to give you.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else in the this Adventurer's Vault 2 that really stands out that's kind of cool that people might want to pick up and check out?
Yeah, the it introduces, and I forget what they're called. Let me see. Flip, flip, flippity, flip. And no, that's not it. Item sets.
Okay, and what's an item set?
An item set is, and you're going to love this because I'm pretty sure Warcraft has this kind of thing. You have a match set
of items. Yeah,
so
we call it a tiered class. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have your Hammer of the Dwarven Lords, your
yes.
Shield of the Dwarven
yes.
Lords, your Armor of the Dwarven
yes.
Lords, and because you have all three, you get another bonus on top of that.
Yes, that's something in Warcraft that's really kind of cool because, you know, if you don't, and my character never collects these things because it's too hard for me to get every single one,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, when you get decked out with the right hat, the
mm-hmm.
right armor, the right weapon, you look pretty kick-ass because it's like a complete set. And
yep.
there are people that really go to town trying to get these complete sets of armor, whether it be the boot of the owl or the cloak of the whale or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
When you put it all together, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing here in Dungeons & Dragons.
That's what they're doing here.
And any items, sets that stand out that are like things that our adventurers might want to lust for in the coming levels?
Oh, sure. There's plenty of stuff. Again, because I have stuff planned out, you're probably not going to get any of this stuff. But,
curses.
For example, just the very first one is if you get the Armor of Dwarven Vigor, the Rousing Hammer, the Hammer Shield, and the Clear Blood Baldric, you get Resist... You get a +2 item bonus to dungeoneering checks and endurance checks, and resist poison equal to 10 plus your con modifier.
Wow.
So
that's pretty powerful then.
Yeah.
Somebody and what level is that?
The highest level item is level 9, so you could get it as early as
level
5.
7? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, okay. Four
mm-hmm.
levels above?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that sounds pretty cool. I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you another thing, and I just picked this up last week, and I haven't really had a chance to crack it open. I picked up the Dungeon Master's Guide 2.
Mm-hmm.
How long has that one been out?
Only a few weeks.
Okay, have you picked it up yet?
I haven't.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll have to save that for another time, because
sure.
I picked it up. There was like 20 of them sitting on the shelf, and I said, oh, I better grab this now before they're all gone.
Yeah, and now they're all gone. Yeah.
Here in town, they go pretty quick. There must have been 8 of them whenever I went.
Basically, everybody who's at that D&D table with us, you're in direct competition for books.
Ah, I see. So we need to tell the store, you need to order more stuff.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, we'll talk about that in the coming weeks. In fact, you might as well just borrow mine until, since I'm not doing any dungeon mastering, but at least going through there, it helps me figure out, you know, kind of some of the methods that you're employing as we go through there.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to read through the first Dungeon Master's Guide, I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, that's probably something everybody should read just as well to kind of figure out how things are going on. Let's go to some emails really quick and answer a couple of emails. This one comes from McGigas. Hey, Steven, I've been enjoying Critical Hit ever since picking it up thanks to its feature, since being featured in iTunes, and I want to thank everybody who's been voting for Critical Hit over in the iTunes store. Mm-hmm. We are still featured as of this recording. We're still featured up in the featured new and other games. And so if you go up there, you can just see us. I'd like to get us featured on the front page of games.
Yeah.
And the only way to do that is for more people to go out and vote for us.
Vote.
But Magigas goes on to say, and I don't know, that's probably not as...
Magicus?
Magicus, maybe. No, it's Midges. M-E-G-Y-E-S. Megyes.
M-E-G-Y-E-S.
Uh-huh.
Megyes.
Megyes. But where can I download the episodes prior to number 8? I'd really like to go back to the beginning of the campaign. Can you point me in the right direction? Thanks. Well, it's real easy. Originally, when Critical Hit was forming, it was these spin-off episodes or these side conversations that we had in our main podcast, the Major Spoilers Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So if you subscribe to Critical Hit in the iTunes store, you will see them listed as Major Spoilers, Episode 26, D&D 4 Players Guide. And then you'll see another one that's called Major Spoilers 100-something, you know, Character Creation. And then the Persona, what was it called? The
Dramatis Persona.
Dramatis Persona. And then it just goes on from there. And I think there are 8 Major Spoilers episodes, 7 Major Spoilers episodes that are labeled that way. And then we finally got our act together and called it Critical Hit.
And spun it off as its own thing.
And then it's its own thing. And so that's kind of where it's gone.
You can also go to majorspoilers.com and look for, just do a search for Dungeons & Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you put up a post that actually had links to the four original episodes.
Right. Yeah. Just click on D&D and you'll find those. Another thing that people can do, and someone else wrote in this past week asking about a way to more easily organize like the character concept pieces that you wrote about Wizard of Oz and the superhero set that you did.
Yeah.
And organizing these Major Spoilers ones. There's another feature up on the majorspoilers.com website that you might want to check out called My Favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And at the bottom of every article, there's a little star and it says My Favorites. And you click on that and it will save into your cookies or some JavaScript. I don't know. Magic is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll save that link or that article. So that when you come back another time, you just go up to the top of the site and you'll see on the far right hand side in the top menu something called Your Favorites, and you click on that and it'll list everything that you've saved. Essentially, it's a bookmark for the site to bookmark all the pages that you like on the site. So that's another way of accessing this content as you go through. We've got one more question here. Hi, Steven. I love the Critical Hit show and find it strangely entertaining. Well, thank you. Having never really played Dungeons & Dragons before, I had a couple of questions that maybe Rodrigo could answer on a future Critical Hit episode. Well, guess what, Chris? We're going to answer it right now.
Right now!
Number one, how
does he... Because it is the future.
Yes, it is. The future is now! Number one, how does he deal with characters dying when the party is at a high level? Say Orm dies when everyone's at level 20 and has to make a new character. Does that unbalance the team when 3 players are level 20 and 1 is level 1? Or do you make new level 20 characters? That's his first question.
All right. The answer to that is, Steven, if Orm died, Steven would probably make a new character of the same level as the rest of the party.
And his name would be Oram, O-R-A-M. Yeah.
And he would be an Eladrin wizard.
Who surprisingly has all the same items.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's one of my... rules of game mastering that you can't make the same character.
Boo.
And you can't make Inigo Montoya. You can't make a character that's only there specifically to avenge your old character.
Okay, now let me ask you this, though. When we deal with dying, are there resurrection spells?
There are. They're fairly high level, but once the party cracks that level, it's actually particularly hard to kill characters, because even after they're dead, they can come back.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, yeah, we've seen that before, because you can be down and out, but not completely
Well, no, but I mean, like, dead.
Oh, okay.
Like, all right. Yeah.
Okay.
You guys have never failed your three death saves.
All right, question number two from Chris. He says, as the dungeon master, Rodrigo obviously wants to play to win as well. How does he choose monsters that give the party a chance while also giving himself a fighting chance to win as well? Or does he have to kind of throw easy characters at you guys?
That's actually an incorrect assumption. I don't play to win. I am
Thank
not
God.
Trying to kill the party.
Because you could just dial up a level 20 monster and stomp on us.
There's actually a game out there called Descent. And in that one, you do kind of like one person plays the monsters and then each other player plays one character.
Mm-hmm.
And in that one, the whole point of it is, you know, the quote-unquote game master versus the party.
Yeah.
Here, that's not the point. The point is to provide you guys with interesting, fun, and challenging encounters that will also advance the story.
Well, I appreciate that too, because I don't want to fight monkey lizards for the next five levels.
Sure,
they're going to be an annoyance, and sure, they're scattered everywhere. But I don't want to have, and I'm sure our listeners don't want to have, oh, great, now they're being attacked by 100 lizard monkey monsters.
Right.
Swipe, we're done. That's the episode.
And if you've noticed, I mean, we've even had things where, like, we've abstracted conflicts with monkey lizards by now because you've dealt
right.
with them so much.
Right.
It's like, it's just an assumption that there are still monkey lizards kicking around.
Right.
But there's no reason for you guys to keep fighting them.
Okay. Now, the next question then comes into the fact that, you know, you said you don't play to win,
uh-huh.
obviously, but you are in there to advance the story. And
mm-hmm.
again, that's something that I appreciate as well, because if you were just there to kill us, it really wouldn't be a fun game. It would really be pretty oppressive
yeah.
that there's omnipresent person is just making our lives hell. And I find it more interesting that, you know, our characters are allowed to develop and have some fun interactions like we did in the Hall of the King
mm-hmm.
A couple of episodes ago, where Orm and Torque downed a few drinks and things got a little light and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that.
Oh, yeah. The whole point of games like this is to have this, is basically to tell this story in a cooperative way with the added bonus of, you know, throwing in a lot of random elements so you don't necessarily know how things are going to turn out. I mean,
right.
everything that happens in a fight, because of the dice, is kind of random. I mean, one of the characters could die,
oh, sure.
and that could change the course of the story.
Sure. Anything else we want to touch on this episode, Rodrigo?
Somebody had mentioned that they wanted to see, like, they've never played D&D, and they didn't necessarily know what it meant. Like, when you roll a 12, like, what does that mean?
Right.
I would recommend that you go back and listen to the very first one where we make a character with you, because we do explain armor class and all the defenses and what
right.
you roll to hit and
right.
all that stuff. So if people go back and listen to those first couple episodes, then you'll have an idea of what we mean when, you know, when Torque consistently rolls
a 20,
15 points above everybody's armor class.
Right. One other thing that I should point out is somebody else did send, they either posted up on the Major Spoilers website or on one of the forums, but they said, hey, I was hoping that you guys were going to talk about leveling up.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a sneaking suspicion that might be one of the episodes that got lost in me trying to clean up all the audio.
Mm-hmm.
There was one episode which really wasn't super vital to the overall story, but might have had some good information in the back end, like stuff we're talking about now,
mm-hmm.
that talked about us going up to level 2 and what we did at that level. Now,
yeah.
we're coming up to another level up here in probably another episode or two,
mm-hmm.
and at that time we're going to take some time and look at... We'll probably spend an entire episode just looking at Orm, since I'm the noob of
yeah.
the group. And we'll look and see how I would level up and the things that you have to consider. And then we'll also spend just a few moments talking about what other options everybody else took in their level up and why they decided to go that way. But at least when I level up, we can spend some time really going in depth, me with the Dungeon Master, on what's the best option, which is the best way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else has already been doing this stuff. I spent like 30 minutes... I think at level 2 trying to figure out if I wanted to go with this spell or this spell, and everybody explaining to me advantages and disadvantages of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other people, by the time we were done with that, you know, Smith was like, I'm going to do this. And Randus was like, I'm going to do this. And so we didn't have to spend a lot of time going into why you make the decisions that you do at the level change. So we're going to take care of that in maybe another two or three episodes from now.
Right.
All right, everybody, thanks for listening to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers Dungeons & Dragons podcast. If you have any questions, we enjoy all the questions that we're getting. All you have to do is send us a question to podcast@majorspoilers.com, and we'll read it, or we will respond to you in the emails, or even up on the majorspoilers.com website. You can go there for a lot more information and a lot more Dungeons & Dragons stuff. And finally, stay tuned. Who knows where we're going to go as we take on the Void.
What do you get when you cross the peak performance focus of The Tim Ferriss Show with a hard-earned company leadership experience of How I Built This? You get my show, The Elevate Podcast. I'm Robert Glazer. My passion is sharing ideas that help people and companies grow. That's why I interview world-renowned founders, executives, and thought leaders so that they can share their strategies, frameworks, and wisdom with my listeners. Guests include Delta Airlines CEO Ed Bastian, Basecamp founder David Heinemer Hansen, jewelry entrepreneur Kendra Scott, Deep Work author Cal Newport, Grit author Angela Duckworth, and Atomic Habits author James Clear. You'll end every episode with clear takeaways on how to build your capacity and reach your full potential in life and leadership. Listen to the Elevate Podcast today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or wherever you get your podcasts, or visit robertglazer.com/podcast to learn more. That's the Elevate Podcast with Robert Glazer.